Yesterday we had a chance to see the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and we had a chance to begin to think about how that impacts our Gemara. So again, the Gemara in Sanhedrin had a stira in Midrashim, a stira in Brises that are commenting on the Psukim and Mishpatim. Torah tells us you have the thief. Typically you catch a thief la'achar hamasa, post facto. If you catch a thief after he's stolen, so then the issue becomes repayment. He has to return the stolen goods, and he may have to pay back more. Kefel dal behay. That's the more typical scenario that you think about in learning in a case of geneva. But the psukim and mishpatim then turn attention to the sugya above machteres. What happens if you catch the thief while he's midstream, or if you catch the thief while he's still in the act? And specifically, when he's broken and entered. So he's inside his potential victim's house. He's Bob Machteris. He's tunneling in, and we find him in the home of his victim. So then what? So then it's not just a question of stopping the theft, of making him drop the stolen goods and leave. He clearly needs to do that. But then the Torah says, all of a sudden now becomes almost a capital case. The Torah says that Bav Mechteres ain't lo damim, he has no blood. As Rashi translates in the Mishnah, you have the right to kill. You have the right. The first Rashi in the Gemara also, in Sanhedrin, ayin beis amel. Amra Torah ain't lo damim kilomar. What that means to say is, you've seen in the past, the word kilomar always introduces a non-literal interpretation. Ain't lo damim, he doesn't have blood. But no, what it means to say is, it's as though he's a dead man. Ki'ilu, he's a dead man. Mutal hargo. You have the right, if need be, to use lethal force against this intruder. But then the Torah says, as we saw, but the Torah gives an exception. Mzoch Hashem Hashalav, the sun shines on him, so then there is no din of ein lo dam. Then yesh lo dam. Then you may not use lethal force. And that's what the two different braces were trying to figure out. What does this mean? Zaruch Hashem Shalav, the sun shines. It can't be a reference to daylight at nighttime, literally, because then it wouldn't have to say Allah. It would just say Zaruch Hashem, the sun shines. But Pshat, both braces wanted to know. If he Hashem Shalav Bilvad Zaruch, the sun is only shining on him. So the braces says, no, it means something else. As an aside, before we go on, you should just know, we're not going to focus on this, but once we're in the world of Bav Mechteres, you should know that Sugya, the Dinam of Bav Mechteres, appear at the very end of the Rambam Hilchas Geneva. There are 9 prakim. Say for Nezikin, second section of Nezikin is Hilchas Geneva. There are 9 prakim in Hilchas Geneva. So the end of the last parak tes, from Halacha Zayin and on, are the Dinam of Bav Mechteres, from Zayin to Gimel, the last 7 halachas. So over the course of, we're not going to focus on all of it, you should be aware that there is a machlokas Rambam and Ravid, whether the Rambam is of the opinion, the simple reading of the Gemara, that day and night are absolutely irrelevant. There's no difference in day and night. It doesn't matter whether you catch the guy, there's intruders during the day, intruders during the night. It's absolutely irrelevant, the simple reading of the brain, so it's a kaloma. We totally stepped away from the literal meaning. All that Zaruch Hashem Shalav, it only means what the Gemara is about to say about Bar, which we'll get into in a moment. You should be aware that the Ravid disagrees. You should be aware that the Ravid holds, they're both true. In addition to the Din, the Gemara is going to give a Ben Alav and Abba Ben, there's also an additional limitation, Pshuto Shal Mikra, the whole Din only applies at night. And this actually is a machlokas on the pages of Shulchan Aruch. These Din are called Lahalacha, in the third to last Siman in Shulchan Aruch. Simon, the very end of Choshe Mishpat, Simon, it's aptly named, Takeh, Tav Kav Hei, 425, but Takeh means you should strike, you should hit. So Takeh, Simon Tav Kav Hei is actually about the halachas of homicide. And those rare situations, when homicide is warranted, such as Rodev and the Bav Mechteres, these dinim All I know, the dinam of chivay misas beis, they are not knowing bezman atar, but bab machteres tragically sometimes is. So then put notes that came on the page, do discuss. Should we pass like the Rebbe, should pass like the Rambam? And the pashtus is that we should pass on that simple reading that most notes that came, we should pass like the Rambam. There are no hard and fast rules about day and night. You have to assess the situation. And that brings us back to the Sunday. So again, the Rebbe thinks we literally also care about day and night. The Rambam says no, but everyone agrees we do care about what our Gemara says. Everyone maybe except for Rashi. So let's take a look. Let's see once again Sanhedrin inside, and then we're gonna come back to Pesachim. Ein lo damim. So the first brisa says that the two brises discuss so zoch Hashem shalom means not that the sun is shining, that's universal, but instead shemesh on him, it's metaphorical. Is that what's your clarity about him? If you have clarity about his intent in this specific case, then the din is X, otherwise the din is Y. But that's the steer of the brises. We saw yesterday, is that you need clarity that he is a murderous in order to be able to use lethal force against him. But stama, if you don't know one way or the other, if it's a stam, if it's unspecified, then you may not use lethal force, or then you may use lethal force. That was the stira. That's the last word, the final words of Ayin Beis of an Aleph and Sanhedrin. Kashya stama astama. A stira between the brises about the stomach. When it's not specified. And everyone agrees, if I know for sure that this particular person has murderous intent, then I may use lethal force. I must use lethal force if need be against him. And if I know that he does not have lethal intent, then murderous intent, then I cannot use lethal force. But how about when it's not? Vast majority of the time, someone's coming to the house. I don't know who it is. I don't have a chance to do an thorough interview. You got to make a call. So what's the din, yes or no? And that's the skew to the brises. Lokashi, the Gemara says, Kam ba'av al aben, kam aben al aav. Kam ba'av al aben, kam aben al aav. Right? The difference between the father attacking the son versus the reverse. So Rashi says, Abba ba'al aben. What's the first case? Rashi says, B'machtera, top Rashi, Sanhedrin, and Bez, and Bez. Abba ba'al aben, machteres. The father is tunneling into the son's house. The father is the intruder. The father is the ganav. Misafek al yargeu b'no. The son can't shoot him, misafek. Unless you know for sure. Why? Devada rachme ha'abba b'no. We assume that for sure the son, the father is going to have a parental rachmanas for the child. Afilu matil memono. Even if the son's going to attempt to stop the father from stealing the property, well, he's not going to shoot. The parent wouldn't kill the child. He'll come, again, even a parent is saying yesterday. Clearly, we're talking about a very non-typical situation. This is clearly not your typical parent-child relationship. That's quite an understatement. If a parent, Rahman al-Slan, is breaking into his son's house, to say that there's been a breakdown of communication here is an understatement. To say that there's a breakdown of moral fiber is an understatement.
What if it's like a different case, like kind of similar, like in the case of like let's say like I'm a son trying to get into my dad's house, and now they break me up. It's the middle of the night, so like I'm like putting the code in the door, and he'll wake up trying to break in. Like in that case, it's not like a malicious. I'm not trying to break in. I'm like, you know, like,
but right. So clearly, if the Baal HaBayis realizes that the intruder is not coming to steal, so then that would be another example where it's clear the borrower.
But what if you said it's clear he's not trying to steal, but what if he's not trying to steal, but he's just coming to kill you? Like, let's say he's a hitman.
Okay, so then he is rodent. Other options, that's a simple rodent. Okay, see. So I'm not sure of the question. Let's say someone's coming to kill me, but I didn't know he's coming to kill me.
Yeah.
So should I shoot first? But I didn't know he's coming to kill me, so why would I shoot first?
Because the case by the thief is that we assume that someone won't stand idly by when someone says, "Hey, give me all your money," or that type of thing. He breaks into your house and says, "I'm taking everything." You assume I'm going to stand idly by. But if someone just comes to your house and he doesn't say anything, he's just going to try and kill you. You don't like it's still something. You don't know what he's doing. Like, what is a suffix? I'm asking, like, can the suffix be, like, suffix, like, you don't know, like,
ah,
his actions.
So Chaim's asking, so there could be other cases. You say, in other words, the basic case of Rodef, where Reuven is pursuing Shimon to kill him, and then there's a din that you can be matzil nefesh Shimon b'nefesh Reuven, but you have the right and the obligation to save Shimon if need be by using lethal force against Reuven. And then the b'machteres is an extension. That was Rabbi Sarah and Ibn Zabal. It's sort of like a situational Rodef. It's a potential Rodef. You know, the God of knows. We assess that the God of knows that the Baal Bais will likely stand up to him, and obviously the God of is prepared to use lethal force. So you're saying there could be other situations also of suffix rodif, where it's not clear what tension is. Good, so let's keep that in mind as we progress. That's a good point. Let's keep that in mind as we progress in the sugya. So Aval Haben, so then you do not use lethal force this stama. Again, as I was saying before, clearly it's a very, very unusual situation all day. This is a father who's clearly has a horrific relationship or lack of relationship with his son. He needs money and he's not talking to his son about it. He's breaking into his own son's house. Hayitachin. And clearly this is not a father with strong moral standing. Hare, he's breaking and entering. Im calls that, even though clearly we're dealing with an unusual case, but still, murder is too much. A father wouldn't pull the trigger on his own son.
Well,
if the house is in front of a statistic from 100 robberies to call a driving something, that's it, but to say, to bother, like going to some house and take, like, to dig a tunnel into the house and steal, so he's not going to kill us all. Good, so Akiva is asking, how are you talking? Is there a line to be drawn between willingness to break and enter, willingness to shoot? So the Gemara goes on to talk about another scenario also. Amar Rav says, this could even be the case by someone who's not my father. This is Rav. Rav is such a, even among the Amara, who's an unusually holy and sensitive tzaddik. He says, if someone breaks into my house, I will kill him. That's it. I will protect myself. But b'nefesh harodeh, I would kill someone who's an intruder into my house. Kill if need be. L'varmer of Chanina bar Sheva. Okay, Rav's father no longer alive. He says, there's one person who I wouldn't shoot if he broke in my house. Who is that? Rechaniah bar Sheva. So my time, but the Gemara says, well, why? The Gemara says, the Yilim Mishum the Tzadik, if he tells me, because Rechaniah bar Sheva is a big Tzadik, as well, Kasi Machtarta. If he's breaking into your house, apparently he's not such a big Tzadik. Because Miri says, you know, either he changed, or it turns out that he was a faker all along. In the hypothetical where he's breaking into your house to steal, so he's clearly not the tzaddik that you thought he was, or not the tzaddik that he used to be. Well, why would it? So what changed? El mishum dekimli begavei demirachim alai kirachim avabano. The Gemara says, no, it's because Ra was convinced that beyond, even if Chanina bar Sheila would lose his moral moorings and be willing to steal and mug and but there's such a deep emotional connection. Rav Chanina bar Sheila had like a paternal feeling about Rav, so that would be too much. Again, as the Gemara said, the Braisa said before, the Braisa that the Gemara is interpreting as talking about the father, the first Braisa, if it's clear the Ein Lo Shalom, then use lethal force, but the Stam you don't, the Gemara says that's talking about Aval Bano. So yeah, if this is a scenario where it is clear to you that this father would be murderous towards his own sons, and then the son uses lethal force. But Bistam, we assume even if he's so lost, the father is so lost spiritually, morally, emotionally, he's so lost he's willing to break his own son's house, that still doesn't tell us that he's willing to kill. But Ben Al Ha'av, if it's a son breaking into the father's house, as Rashi says, Kol Shekein Ish Dalma, all the more so if it's just two random people, so then you assume an intruder into the house, unless you know specifically that there is no murderous intent, as is the case with Rav and Ruchim HaSheila, otherwise you assume that there is murder, the default assumption is there is murderous intent, and therefore the Baal Bayis shoots. But if it's if the intruder is a father, then the default assumption is that there is no murderous intent. Yeah, question.
How can we say that the fault for a father is that there's no murderous intent?
out of all the houses that he could have chose, he chose to rob his son.
So again, clearly he's
scared, so he's not
going to
kill.
Yeah, it could be Rechanami. It could be that could be exactly no one could. The two possibilities. Why is he going for the son's house? One possibility is he just break into a random house, but we're pretty sure that when he realizes he's face to face with his son, he's not going to pull the knife. He's not going to pull the trigger. Or maybe he knows where everything is. Or he knows he's more comfortable. And he knows that's a low stress situation because no one's pulling any guns. No one's pulling any knives. You bring a flashlight. I don't know. However you're stealing, you have some light source, I think. Yeah, question.
One is, regardless of what you think about your friends and how great they are, at the end of the day, like, for two reasons that didn't work. One is the heat of the moment, you have no idea what your friends are going to say, like, oh, shoot, I'm calling. You're going to say, no, oh, he's my friend, I'll leave the house now. Oh, you're kidding out, but not only that, like this isn't a person who will have to wander into the house and still have to be friends. This is a person who literally double holds your form. Like, it's not, like you literally just pick apart your house. You no longer have the form of your house. And this guy who took apart your house is looking to take apart your financial security, he's
going to
now care about you? It doesn't seem to...
So the teretz is that you are not yet a parent. The teretz is you're not yet a parent. So just like if you're a single guy, it's going to be hard to appreciate. I still remember distinctly. Many, many, many years ago, I was learning Shir Shirim by Rabbi Morty Cohen. And I remember he said, so those of you who are single aren't really going to fully appreciate the significance, the mashalim that again appear in Yeshayahu and elsewhere also, but particularly all of Shir HaShirim, that Rama writes, call Shir HaShirim as mashal for the passionate love between a Ribbono Shel Olam and human being. Yeah, if you haven't yet experienced it, if you haven't experienced the profundity of the committed relationship, okay, so it's all theorized, like learning kashim, that we can theorize about it, we don't really get into kishkas. So here too, so if you learn the sugya before you're a parent, you're like, yeah, okay, but because you have not yet had that emotion. In Mirat Hashem, in a couple of years from now, in less than a decade, Mirat Hashem, in way less than a decade, all of you will look back and will chazer the sugya, and it'll mean something totally different. Because it'll no longer be theoretical. No, you'll understand. You'll have felt yourself the profound emotions that a parent has towards a child. Again, there could be exceptions to that too, and the Gemara does say. We're going to have to get back to this. If it bar lecha that this father is so lost that not only he's willing to burglarize his son's house, but bar lecha that this father would be violent towards his son. And lemaisa, we do know, tragically, of stories of abusive parents. There are parents out there who are so, so far from the norm that they are willing to be violent towards their kids. Also, rachmal etzlan. Okay? So if you know of an abuse situation, you have to stand up and do something about it. And if it's a bav nachtera situation, if it's bar lecha, so then the din is different. But the stam is, yes, correct. The stam is that even the father who's a burglar still wouldn't actually, and the father who's a burglar, and we would be concerned that in someone else's house, he's prepared to be murderous towards the baal bayis, but if the baal bayis is a son, he's gonna hold back. He's going to hold that. So for now, you'll have to... This is a kachim for you. This is theoretical. So we'll have to be makabel. Rach me'aval then. In which time, you should be zaycha at the right time to appreciate this. Mibisari echza. Yeah, question.
What's the idea of why strictly 12 machteris?
Like,
what if he breaks in through the front door?
Good question. Well, why the machteris? So pashtus is, the machteris is just an example. And that's a simple reading of the Gemara later on Ayin Beis on the days. We're not seeing the whole sugi now, but later we're just focusing on the Aval Ben Ben Olav. But later in the middle of Ayin Beis on the days, the Tanur Rabbanon, the Gemara has quotes another medrash. Is a Dafke Machteris? How you find him on the rooftop? You find him in the backyard. So the Gemara says, no. It regardless that's the case. But the first answer the Gemara gives is that's the most common. At the time, the most common way, again, remember, nowadays no one tunnels into houses because houses have floors. But back in the old days, when all the houses were dirt floors, apparently that was the most common route of entry for ganavim. So the rabbi that I mentioned before, who limits the din above machteris to laila, also limits the din above machteris to machteris. So there's a long way, but again, the simpler the Gemara is like the Rambam. The machteris is the first answer. The Gemara gives another answer also. The first answer the Gemara gives is that's dibur kasav behovim. Why does the Torah speak about losing a sheep and losing a cow and losing clothing? The Torah could have spoken about losing an elephant. The answer is yeah, okay, but the dibur kasav behovim. Torah gave common examples, but there are other examples of the category that are that are equally, but halacha applies equally as well. I'm sorry.
I think the so we looked up about stealing animals.
The din of dal v'hei, the din of geneva dal v'hei applies only to shor v'set. But let's say the din of shor v'set veda, so on and so forth. Correct. Okay. So now let's come back. And let's take a look back in our Gemara Masechim. Let's read this Gemara, let's see where it takes us. Let's try to make sense of what's going on here. But Nachamo. The Nesve, La'ar Yochim Rotzeach, Yigtal Ani Ve'Avyon. A pasuk where? The Torah Or tells you this is a pasuk in the 24th parak of Iyov. La'ar Yochim Rotzeach, Yigtal Ani Ve'Avyon. At Or, the murderer rises and he kills the poor. Ubalayla yikigana. That night he's a ganav. So there's a raya machracha. So he's a ganav. Ubalayla yikigana. Alma or you know. A very clear contrast the Torah is drawing in the poetry of Eo between Laila and Or. Obviously Laila is night and Or is day. Or says no. Hasam hafika amar. It doesn't mean night. Once again, it's using the it means light. How is the light the opposite of night? If it's clear to you, it's Barak HaChama, the Barak HaOr, that he has murderous intent, that's the only time you kill him. Then Rotzeach, and then we deem him to be a potential murderer. So then you're allowed to use lethal force to protect yourself. If need lethal force, if necessary, to protect yourself. But Misavkola Milsa Kilelia. But if you're not sure, like the night, so then the Gemara is going to soon mention in a couple lines from now the other mashal where night is used for a lack of clarity, where things aren't clear. All the Almazes compared to Laila. So if it's Laila and it's Masupik, so then Kiganov, Yehibe Nahagam, just treat him like a plain thief with no murderous intent. Velo Nita Latzil Benafshal. So what does the Gemara say? This pasuk in Iyov talk about a scenario where if it's clear that he has murderous intent, so then kill, if need be. But if it's not clear, if it's kalila, if it's besupik, then don't. So stama is don't. So who are we talking about here? Aval ben, right? As we just said, there could be outlier cases, but the stama aval ben is in the Tzino ben Asha. The problem is, as Tosus says here, that Omer Reed Riva Top Tos Ben Zebed. Oh, Hi Krab Aval Ben Ma'iri. This one Aval Ben. And he goes on to quote the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Stam Avaracham Aval Ben. The typical father of Barachim, even if he's a burglar, Lo Yargenu, he might steal, but he's not going to kill. Lo Yargenu Yamad Negdo Lahatzlamon. If the son stands his ground to protect himself, the burglar father, we assume, would back off and not use lethal force. That's why the father does not represent a threat to his son, and therefore you're not allowed to shoot the father. Unless you know for sure that this father is an abusive, violent father who would use force even against his own son. He goes on to quote the Gemara, again, so Tosus just says it. Tosus in Sanhedrin doesn't just say it. Tosus in Sanhedrin ends. Look back in Sanhedrin. He says, Pirushan Bekuntris, Rashi said, Ben Alaav Okal Adam, Velo Yitachim. What's that about? The Tosas there tells us the Rashi here is Shver. The second Rashi in Beis Nabeis. Mashenasmucha Torah Shus Abad Machteres Laharga. The Rashi says right away, we're talking about the Sugya Abad Machteres. The Torah gives you that right to use lethal force if necessary to protect yourself against this intruder. Kidichsin Machteres Yimarzagav Huku Mejein Lo Damin. Now Rashi says what the Gemara is saying is in Bar Lachadavur Kaarshu Ubanis Kinefashos. If it's clear to you, it's covering this Kinefashos, which is Kol Adam Chutzei Avodan Keiotzibo Shemakir Bo Shulovo. Anyone other than the father or Rabbi Chinya Bar Shela, the intensely good friend, Shulovo Maod Shaka. Are there anyone else? Why Yibam Amar Olbi Kinev Lahatzal and Enu Lemodo? If the homeowner would stand up to defend his property, Zelmin Alvargo, this thief, this burglar, would kill the homeowner, and therefore Rotzeachu. Rashi plugs this back into our Gemara. He's Rotzeach. V'nita Rishus b'chal hakodim lahatzilas b'alaman b'nafsha. Shabala machteres. And anyone, not just the homeowner, anyone is allowed to use lethal force against the burglar to save the balabai. B'layla in the sabchal b'layla kod sh'adam ohabcha shehu avicha v'racham avalecha. If it's someone you're mesupuk, like the father, so then eino hargecha. That is aval aden eino nera gemachteres. So what Rashi just said, that's what Tosfos and Hedra is so bothered by. Rashi just says that what? And when the Gemara says borer, that's the son. When the Gemara says mesupuk, that's the father. As opposed to saying that the whole Gemara is about av, which is the pashuk shot based on Gemara and Hedra. As the Tosfos said, the whole Gemara is about av. If you're vada, then you kill, and yourself, you don't. And Rashi turns it into Vadai means everyone else, and Safik means the father. What does that mean? And truly, if you look at the Rambam as an aside, you'll see Rambam sort of presented the other way around. He says, it's Barer, but everyone else is a Safik. You kill me, Safik. But the father, you're Barer that he's not going to shoot. That's the way the Rambam presents it, Halacha's Tesson Yud. The Rashi is very, very difficult. Again, Rashi is very difficult because he's saying you're killing anyone else because you're certain. But by the father, you're not sure. That's not the simple reading of the Gemara. That's not the simple reading of the Gemara Sanhedrin. So how do you make sense of this Rashi? How do you make sense of this Rashi who seems to be shrinking the whole din of Baba Machteres into... Because you're a Vada. But everyone else, you're a Vada. If you'd be a Safik, you wouldn't. That's not what the Gemara says then. So what do you make of this Rashi? So I want to think about this together. And the half that we'll take is, I would say, inspired by a number of Achronim. No one of these Achronim actually says this. I think you put together pieces of the Minchas Chinuch, pieces of Rav Chanan, and perhaps a piece of Rav Shimon as well. Minchas Chinuch is in the mitzvah of Yehar Vayavar, Reish Tzadivav, Oslam Gimel. Reb Chanan is right here in Kovet Shur on this Amud. And Reb Shimon is in the Chidush Reb Shimon Shkapa on Ksubas, Simen Gimel. So based on the idea that they present, I think let's journey ahead. I think a solution to Rashi lies in working on another problem or two. We already mentioned the Chiddush Aran, the difficult Chiddush Aran, we'll come back to that as well. But let's take a look at another place where Bava Machteres shows up. When we start Bava Machteres yesterday, we noticed in the Masoras HaShas that this also appears in Yuma. So let's take a look in Yuma in two places. A quick show of hands, how many of you saw the Gemara in Yuma Daf Pei Beis and Seder? How many of you saw Yuma Pei Hei and Seder? Okay, good. Good. So let's start. If you have a Gemara in front of you, absolutely take a look inside. If not, you listen outside. We'll jump around a little bit between Pei Beis and Pei Hei. So Mishnah and Pei Beis, we're saying yesterday, the eight prakim in Masechet Yuma, the first seven prakim about the kachim part of Yom Kippur. The first seven parakim are primarily dedicated to Avos Yom Kippur and Beis HaMikdash. The last parak is about all the halachas that are noeg bezman hazeh. The end is about tshuva, and the beginning of the parak, most of the parak, is about the tanas. The tanas and the sharinui, and rechitza, and sikha, and so forth. And then peyal, peybez, the Gemara begins to sort of think about how that plays forward. Peyal is achil be'er Yom Kippur. And peybez gets in, before Yom Tov, we saw the top of peybez is about chinuch katan b'mitzvahs. The second mishnah, peybez of an olive, gets into the limits of fasting on Yom Kippur. What do you do if someone is in danger? So you have a Mishnah on Pei Beis, another Mishnah on Pei Gimel, about Sakaras Nefashas. So we'll take a look at both. So the Mishnah Pei Beis talks about someone who's ill. The Mishnah actually begins with the Ubra, a woman who's pregnant. So at times, if we're concerned about potential Sakaras Nefashas, if she does not eat, so we're going to tell her, if need be, that she should eat. I'm sorry. Oh, we're going to get a very good question. We're going to get there. The Rush takes up that question. Are we only do we only have her eat if it's not kind of to her? Or how about if she's fine, but the baby may be risk? We're going to get into that. Mr. Shem. So the Mishnah is not clear about that. Mishnah is Uber Sharicha. The Mubera smelled the food, and now she has a burning desire for the food. We're worried that this may be a hazard to withhold it. So you give her what she needs. You give her what she needs. The Brisa, couple lines into the Gemara, Pei Beis Amid Aleph, says it's not just Yom Kippur. It could be any day of the year. Uber Sharicha Besar Kodesh or Besar Chazir. She has a very strong craving for meat of a carbon, which she is not entitled to eat, either because it's Katsu Katsu, or because she's Tameya, or as the case may be, or Besar Chazir. She has a craving for bacon. She has a craving for ham. So the Brisa says you try to give her a little bit. Tochum lakush berotev. You dip a stick into the gravy and give her a little bit of the gravy. It's not even the food itself. You're giving her a tom cake or just the gravy, a chatzi shir of the tom cake. Give her a little taste of the gravy. If that settles her, great. And it's yashma daita mutav. If that calms her, good. If not, step two. Achila sarot devatzma. Give her spoonfuls of the gravy. So I give her sheer shalim, the whole kazais, of the tam ke'ikr, of the gravy that has the flavor of the treif for meat. And this yashma daita muta, if that calms her, great. If not, machilos or shuman atzma. If even that doesn't do it, then you give her the actual shtick flesh. Actually, give her a piece of bacon. The Tanam are working on the assumption that if a pregnant woman has a craving, some pregnant women will have cravings occasionally, they work on the assumption that an unsatisfied craving is a potential sakana. So that's what the Brisa goes on to say. Why are we doing this woman? We're giving this woman bacon. We're giving this woman a carbon outside Beis HaMikdash. Well, wherever the case is, where yifinu machalos asuras, how could that be? She'ein lecha davar shal mifnei pikuach nefesh chus mevodah zara gila rosh v'chus davin. The Brisa says, this is one of the places where Tanan tells us that pikuach nefesh is doka called tarkula, except for the gimel chamurus. The most central sugya is the Sanhedrin, the end of Ben Sora Mor, some of you went to the other summer. And it appears here as well, and the Gemara both here and in Sanhedrin, and later in Psachim, and in Brachas, begins to talk about the Mekoros for this din. Ein lecha davar shal mifnei pikuach nefesh chutz mevodah zara gerer shvichas dam. So first the Gemara gives a marker, hayina da vodah zara, hay? Maybe avodah zara should be nitcha b'fnei pikuach nefesh. Maybe I'm allowed to worship avodah zara. Can I worship avodah zara to save my life? The Gemara says no. The Gemara is a pasuk, and then go down a few lines. And again, if you don't have the yuma, you actually could take a look in Psachim. That's the truth. Everyone has a Psachim. I think this part of it appears. Yeah. This part of the sugya appears in Psachim as well. The top of Chaf Hei Mebeis, if you don't have the Gemara Yuma, or Gemara Sanhedrin, appears in all three places. Psachim, Chaf Hei Mebeis are in the eighth line or so. The line begins, tenth line maybe. Shvichas damim gufei minala. How do you know that you're not allowed to kill to save your life? Gar says, we learn Gila Reis from Shvichas damim. How about Shvichas damim? How you know Shvichas damim is something that you cannot violate? It's one of the Gimel Chamurus, you cannot violate to save your life. Svaro, Gemara says it's a svaro. Ki Yehuda also came to Rava. The Gemara says there's a fellow, a Jew, came to Rava. Rava was a Zvali Hadar. What do you mean? Very good. So Rava says, the fellow comes to Rava, and he says to Rava, Mori Duroi, the mayor of my town, Amrli Zil Katha Laplanya Vila Katunalach. The mayor wants, Reuven comes to Rava, and Reuven tells Rava, the mayor of my town wants Shimon eliminated, but the mayor doesn't want the blood on his own hands. So the mayor told me that I have to be the hitman, and otherwise they're going to hit me. Right? So the mayor told Reuven that you can either take out Shimon or we'll take you out. Now, why the mayor is willing to take out Reuven, not Shimon, I don't know. Obviously, there are more layers to the story that are not being shared. But the halachic nub of it is Reuven is in a situation where he can save his life by murdering someone else. Rachman, you read the Chuvas from the Holocaust. The Nazis definitely played mind games like this with the Jews. Or there may be all sorts of other layers to why, because of the situation. There could be many explanations to why the criminals are doing this. But Reuven comes to Rava and he says, I'm stuck. So what do I do? He says, you can't. Let them kill you if need be. You cannot kill anyone. You're not allowed to murder to save your life. Who says your red blood is rather than his? Maybe his blood is rather than yours. What gives you the right to place your life above someone else's? You don't have the right. Pikuach nefesh is an awesome, overwhelming halachic value. Pikuach nefesh cuts both ways here. Pikuach nefesh for Reuven and for Shimon. What do you mean Reuven's going to save his life by murdering Shimon? That's not pikuach nefesh. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. Either way, because Rashi doesn't say there's ibu nefesh that's Charlie the way. So you don't have the right. That's not right. And the problem, as Oriel pointed out, the problem is that there's a Gemara just a few lines, a few amudim later in Yuma, and this is why I wanted to see Daf in Yuma. If you turn to Daf Pehei, the next Mishnah also, Mishnah Pehei also talks about Pikuach Nefesh, and Mishnah talks about Bimachal Shabbos to save someone's life. As the building collapses, and Rachman Tzlan, there's an earthquake, a building collapse, and there's rubble, and there may be people underneath. We're not sure if everybody is not sure if it's alive underneath. You have the right, even though it's a svek svek, you have the right to do the Chal Shabbos and see if you can potentially save someone's life. That's what the Mishnah says. So the Gemara tells a very, very fascinating historical background. This is the way the Gemara introduces. The Gemara wants to know the Baran Pehei with Al Gan Pehei Beis. How do we know that Pikuach Nefesh is Doch Hashabbos? I know Pikuach Nefesh is Doch Kol Tarach Kula. The Gemara on Pei Beis that we just saw was about the exceptions. The Gemara on Pei Beis or Psachim Chapei is about the exceptions. How do you know that Pikuach Nefesh is not Doch Havoz Dar Gira Shvichas Dam? But here, the Gemara is getting to the core. The basic assumption, those are exceptions to the basic rule that Pikuach Nefesh is Doch Kol Tarach Kula, including something as severe as Shabbos. Where does that come from? Mechatech sees that Pikuach Nefesh is Doch anything. Who says? So the Gemara gives a whole series of answers given by the Tanam, and the introduction is fascinating. The last narrow line to him and all. For Hayyab Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva, Blazim Nazar, Malch Madara. These three Gedolei Hador, Gedolei Tanam, they were traveling together. Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva, Blazim Nazar. And Levi Hasadar is there. Yishmael, Benoshab, Blazim Nazar, Mahalch and Acharei. There's a significant group of Tanam, a traveler. This shaila is raised. How do you know that Pikuach Nefesh is Doch Hashabbos? Now it could be, hard to know for sure, I think Rav Reuven Margolis suggests this. Gemara is, usually you don't get that historical frame. Where, when? Rarely. Usually you say, Amar so-and-so, and go. Every statement was said somewhere in some context, but And 99% of the time, the Gemara does not give us the context. But I think Reuven Margolius is the one who points out that this Shaila was a particularly burning Shaila during the lifetime of when Rabbi Akiva and Rishmo, Rosman Azari, were senior Talmidei Chachamim. Rabbi Akiva, as we were talking about the other week, he had been a proponent of the Bar Kochba, and he had believed that Bar Kochba could be Mashiach. And but you have to understand that when Bar Kochba went down, so if you study your Jewish history or you study your Roman history, the Romans had a whole approach to how they had built an entire empire. And in building an empire, there's a certain fundamental instability. As the empire grows, how are you going to maintain control and hegemony of everything? So they had a whole mahalach. They would come in, they had a whole approach that they would culturally assimilate each colony, let them keep part of their religion and inject part of their sort of pan-Roman culture, pan-Roman religion, and that sort of assimilated the new colony into Roman culture, and it worked. And then what they realized after the Bar Kochba revolt is it did not work with the Jews. Knocking down the Beis HaMikdash, they went to some other country and knocked down a few temples, built their own temples, and that worked, loosely speaking. It didn't work for Kol Yisrael. They realized there was an X factor. The X factor, of course, was Torah mitzvahs. And so that's why after the Bar Kochba revolt, there's this intense the Hadrianic persecution during Hadrian, the subsequent emperors, up until the time of Antoninus and Vyuanasi, a century later, it was close to a century of very, very intense religious persecution by the Romans towards the Jews. It's all the Asar Harugei Malchus and the people being killed, Akedah Hashem, being killed for taking lulav and being killed for so and so forth. This was the sugi of the moment. When is Pikuach Nefesh Docha? When is Pikuach Nefesh not Docha? So this, it wasn't just this initial Shail Zubifneim. This was the Shaila. How do we know that Pikuach Nefesh is Docha and when is it not? And the Gemara has a long stream of Tanaim who give their own answers. Rabbi Shmuel gives an answer. Rabbi Akiva gives an answer. And they go on with more answers. I think there's a series of five different approaches from the Tanaim. And then finally, a very intriguing end of the sort of surprise end to the sugya, Rabbi Yehuda, the Amor Shmuel says, if I would have been there, Havoy Hassan, the first white line paying the days. He was an Amor, he lived several generations later. He says, if I would have been there, days Rabbi Akiva, I would have given a different drasha. Fascinating. He's willing to argue all the Tanaim. And what's most surprising is the Gemara says, Rava says, and we pass on like Shmuel. Shmuel's drasha is the one which we accept. Remarkable. The Shmuel says, V'chai behem v'lo shamazur. That's the famous one. We have a whole series of drashas which we apparently reject from the Tanaim. Rava says, over the course of the end of the Gemara, leading up to the Mishnah, Hey Amaz, V'kula islu pircha bar mitzvah Shmuel, less like pircha. There's a kasha on all of them. There's a kasha on all of them. And the kasha on all of them tends to be... No, except for Shmuel. Shmuel's is good. The kasha on all of them, the Gemara seems to say, is Suffolk versus Vayne. All the Tanan gave their answer, their Mekoros, all those only prove that you could be Mechal Shabbos for a Vadai Pikuach Nefesh. We said you can be Mechal Shabbos for a Suffolk. At the dinner, even if we're not sure if anyone's alive under the rubble, you can be Mechal Shabbos to potentially save someone's life. So that's what the Gemara seems to say. All these drushes, we don't accept them because they only work B'Vadai. Now what does Rabbi Shmuel say? Here in the bottom of Pehei Amarav. The first Tana to speak up is, I quote, our sugya. It's someone, we don't know who. Someone asked the Shaila. So Rabbi Shmuel is the first one to respond. He says, in the Machteris, he might say Haganah. Our parsha Ba Machteris. What do you see from Ba Machteris, or Oriel and Zucht? Oriel points that before. Right? And what do you see from the parsha Ba Machteris, says Rabbi Shmuel? Umazeh, Shasafik al Mamun Ba Safik al Nefashis Ba. Here you have this fellow. We're not sure. Is he coming to murder? Or is he just coming to steal? Is he interested in money? This intruder. And Shvichas Damim. Metame Asaris. We're going to tell the homeowner or a third party, a bystander, to attack the intruder and potentially lethally. He's going to commit. You're going to kill the intruder? Shvichas Damim, bloodshed, metame yisara, to go to Shvichas Damim, metame yisara, to go to Shvichas Damim, Shvichas Damim is such a severe chet. It causes galus. And still, even though Shvichas Damim is such a severe chet, we allow Shvichas Damim to save the life of the homeowner. So Kalvachomer, it says Rabbi Yishmael, Kalvachomer, the Kalvach Nefesh, the Kalvach Nefesh. So all the more so, if the Kalvach Nefesh should be Dokha Shabbos. In other words, if the Kalvach Nefesh is Dokha Ritzicha, it should certainly be Dokha Shabbos. That's the first knocker. That's the first knocker. So this gets us thinking about a lot of things. The first thing gets us thinking about, and we'll think about this for now, for the next few minutes, is the question that Oriel raised. What do you mean? I thought you said in Daf Pei Beis in Yuma. I thought you said in Daf Chafei in Pesachim. I thought you said in the end of Perek Ben Sor Moros and Edrin that Shvichas Damim is not Nidcheh B'Fnei Pikuach Nefesh. Right? Shvichas Damim is the exception. What's Shvichas Damim? What's Rabbi Yishmael saying? That's Machteres? What's going on here? If you're allowed to kill for Pikuach Nefesh, you shouldn't be allowed to kill Shas Pikuach Nefesh. I thought you're not allowed to kill for Pikuach Nefesh. What's going on? Strange gemara.
Maybe Pikuach Nefesh is only like positive
and
Good. So let's put it back. Rava had given a svara, a Rava on Pei Beis, in Yuma, right? And on Chafei and Pesachim had given a svara. So what the Minchas Chinuch suggests, and I think he does not quote the Chiddush Aran, but I think that's from the Chiddush Aran also. We'll close with this for today. The Minchas Chinuch more or less suggests he has an additional twist, but sort of the core what he says in Reish Sadi Vavos on Gimel is that. Yes, it's true that Ritzicha is usually not Nidcheh B'Fnei Pikuach Nefesh, because after all, my chaz is a David Yach Simut Tzei, Dilel HaTamah HaGavah Simut Tzei, right? Who says your blood is redder? As Chaim was quoting from Rava. But that's only, how come I askinan? That's in a typical case. But here, as the Minchas Chinuch says, the guy was a poshea. This isn't a typical case. What's different here is this fellow chose to be above Machteres. This intruder chose to be an intruder. So that's a pshia, and now his blood is no longer as red as mine because of his pshia. And that's why this is a case where this is an exceptional case where the sevara for Ritzicha to not be nitzav because never doesn't apply, and therefore that's why Rabbi says, okay, and that's why Bishmal says, this is a scenario where the svara of my chazas doesn't apply, and therefore we would say what's going on about machteres is pikuach nefesh is docha ritzicha. And to close, I would say that takes us back to where we were yesterday. The question of why not tell the guy, the Ron's question, why not tell the guy to stand down?
Good.
So the Ron had said, who hiskel b'meriva? Well, it's because this God has started. He started the fight. He started the fight there for what? We said yesterday. It sounds like a
story's not going to end.
So it's not just, he started, it's his fault. I mean, he started, what the Ron probably means is not the way we first hear the Ron. Oh, it's like, was this a pre-1A language? No, Chalila. Who is the Ron means since he began, when the Minchas Chinuch says, he's a Poshea. And by begin, who is the Ron? He chose. No one asked the intruder to come in. The Baal HaBayis was in his house legitimately. The intruder, the Baal Machteres, he didn't want to make the choice, I'm going to that house. And that's the Pshia. Because you know you're putting yourself in harm's way by doing that. You know that you're endangering him and endangering yourself. So, who hits the Mariba? You started. You were Poshea, the Minchas Chinuch says. So, the Neila, the svara of my chazes, the dami dachs mutfei, no longer applies. The blood, we do see the blood of the Baal HaBayis as being sumach tfei, redder, so to speak, than the Baal HaMachteres. The Baal HaMachteres chose to trifle with his own life and with the Baal HaBayis' life, and as a result, he loses that, the Baal HaMachteres loses that protection, and Ritzicha, to kill a poshea, such as the Baal HaMachteres, is nidche mefei bikachna. That's already one major appreciation of what's going on in Yuma. There's another step to be taken that we'll see tomorrow, and that's through the Tosfos Bava Metzia, more of what's going on in Yuma, and that will enable us to come back to Pesachim and solve the Rashi in Pesachim as well. Congrats to the
if we say that he's a Moshea, it's not even...